You know, so let's have a good time in the Lord. We already are. I feel like there's let's bring it into what the Lord wants to do this morning. I know this is and I think all of this is a part of it. It is. When we gather together, you wake up in the morning and Stephen, I don't know, he's in the room. He's not here. There's a certain place in your life that you just don't ever use the snooze button. I don't know where. I remember a day back in my 20s when I used the snooze button a lot, but that day is long gone. You just get up and go. In fact, my body wakes me up before my alarm ever does anymore. Anybody resonate with that one? Yeah. So these 20-year-olds, they still use alarms and snooze buttons. I don't understand the snooze button. It's kind of like that person that has to set their clock 10 minutes fast because they're always late, as though that helps. Anybody do that? Oh, good. You wouldn't confess if you did, because yeah, I'd probably really make fun of you. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. I call it just get up and go. It's not gonna wait around, or it does. You know, it doesn't get done until you get up and go and get it done. I don't know. That's, you know, as we're going into this message series, and I said it a few times, and I'll keep saying it until I believe that it's resonating within us. What God is wanting to do through us is for us to really understand, more than understand, but actually grab a hold of His promises, to where when God says, I promise, when God says one of His 7,700 promises, that I believe it so much so that I actually receive it and then walk in it. And I grab a hold of His promises. And I'm asking the Lord. It's like I feel like I'm just like, I'm getting this, but I'm feeling like I'm really wanting all of us to get this, because I there's something about when I believe God's promises that God actually takes. And if you guys remember, I spoke this. He takes us as His kids, and He uses us as His kids to grab a hold of and bring other kids into His fold, other sheep into His fold. Because what is the primary evidence, I believe, of a good father? What's a good father do? He keeps his word. That's what a good father essentially and mostly does. He keeps his word. Because a good father, you know, there's dads that make babies. I'm not going to say anything else other than that. And then there's dads that provide well. In other words, they pay all the bills. But a good father is one that keeps his word, and that's the makeup, the DNA, the character of God, good father. And so when we represent God to those that don't know God as a good father, that one that keeps his word, keeps his promises, we are actually become his children, and we're becoming his children more and more. So much so that when God says it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. And it happens, and it's coming. That's a good thing. So I, with all that being said, I really am asking the Lord to give us a taste, a touch, that it would resonate within us. The promises of God would be yes. So much so that our response is amen to His promises. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. And our response is, I agree. Amen in Christ for the glory of God. So here I'm going to go with this message this morning and I asked the Lord why you wanted me to share this, and He said, well, maybe there's I think a lot that don't realize that we're lepers. And so I want to talk about what a leper is and what Jesus did with the lepers. I think it's such an amazing thing, and I think about what it is. And did you realize that leprosy in our day, there's still, in the year 2016, at the end of the year, is reported over 270,000 cases of leprosy in the world. So it's still in existence. primarily in third world countries. I think there was about 200 cases in the United States of America. So we're limited to seeing it. So we don't really understand it in our day, in our culture, in the context of our culture. But it is real. So I want to tell a story about a leper. This was a man in ancient times, in biblical times. One of the original Walking Dead. You think that The Walking Dead is an original series. It's not. They stole it from the Bible. It had been years since the priest examined this man. Years since he had a suspicious spot that his family and friends forced him to go see the priest so that they could declare whether he was clean or unclean. And as the priest looked at him with sympathy, he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, my son, it's leprosy. It's leprosy. May God have mercy on you." See, leprosy killed you before it ever took your life, many, many times over. It cut you off from those that you love most in the world. It forced you to live with others who were unclean. So much so that it was a hopeless colony away from all those who were normal. And those with more advanced cases, they only reminded you, or they were a glaring sight of what was ahead of you. In store for you. Whenever you'd have to go to town, whenever you'd have to be in the public, you would have to yell as loud as you could, "Unclean, unclean." And as you had to yell that, you would get their attention, because now they knew that you had been diagnosed by the priest with leprosy. And so they would cross the street, they would cover their mouth, they would put stuff around their children to protect them from ever being, even running the risk of running across and touching you, who are now an unclean leper. The shame. And then on top of the shame, you started to ask God, why? I prayed God, because this was such a real thing in our day, in this day. I would pray, "God, protect me, keep me and my family from ever getting leprosy." But then I got it. So then I asked God, "Would you heal me of this infectious disease so I could be normal again?" No answer. So then you start asking, "Why, God? Why? Was I a sinner? Was I somebody that, did I deserve this? If it was because of my sin," it's like, well, that didn't make sense, because I know other worse sinners than me who are tax collectors, and they're living high on the hog right now, and they don't have it. So nothing made sense as to why I have this infectious disease, and now I am excluded, and I'm an outcast. I'm a misfit. I'm worse than that. I'm scorned, and people shun me. They don't accept. I can't even see my family. You know, and just a little side note behind this. I don't know if you guys are attending. If you're attending Blake's our Tuesday night study, one of the things that I was able to understand and learn from what Blake has been teaching us is a neat concept of biblical culture. See, what we don't understand and we don't get so much so because, you know, a leper was, it was required of them to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And that was to do what? It was to protect the community from the contagious disease. We're so far removed from that concept that we have laws in place to protect the individual from the community finding out what the individual has. We got it way backwards. We're screwed up. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but we got it wrong. The individual is important, but not at the cost of the community. But see, they got this. They understood it, and it was a real thing to them. So they were able to, they even understood it at the expense of their own comfort, their own happiness, peace, joy, anything that they were looking for, they still, community came first. Interesting, huh? So, news had reached my ears that there's this Jesus. Jesus, who is a rabbi teacher who taught very controversial subjects. The Pharisees has taken a lot of issues with him because he was so controversial. But there was news that everywhere he went, people were healed, demons were cast out, and even lepers were made clean. Oh my gosh, I've got to find out if this is possible. I've got to find out. I hear that he's teaching on a mountainside. So this leper goes to the mountainside. And yes, he has to keep himself at a distance, but the way that Jesus' voice is carrying, he could remove himself from the crowd and still hear what he's saying. Still listen in on to what he's saying. Is it true? You know, is this Jesus just another delusional Messiah that is claiming glory for himself and trying to promote an uprising so much, to promote a following so that he can get people to himself? But I don't know. I'm listening to the things that he's saying, and there's something different about what he's saying, because not only is what he's saying, is it's resonating a peace within me, but it's also, I'm looking at his followers, and they have a joy, and they have a peace, and they have purpose. They've given up everything to follow this Jesus. It's more than just any other delusional Messiah that has come before him. This Jesus is different. He backs up what he says by doing what he says. Wow. Maybe, is it possible that I can get a hold of him? Is it possible that I could reach into his power and maybe attain something for me that could heal me? So I followed him. And I knew it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be hard because there was a big crowd around. There was a large crowd. And he just got through speaking. Some of the stuff he said was so amazing. He talked about being blessed. He talked about giving up your life to follow him. He talked about him being the only way to eternal life. And I started believing him. But then he said something that caught my attention. So I went down from the mountain and I did everything I could to get in his presence. So now you can pop it up, Michael. The passage that we get to now is Matthew chapter 8. It says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down from the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing. I need to share something really quick here because I think this is where the Lord wants to take us. Jesus did something in this man's very soul, his very spirit, and even his entire DNA, his body, his entire being. He reached out and touched a leper. See, this man had not been touched by somebody clean in years. He had not felt the touch of a human being, of a clean human being in years. And that's something that when that happened, Jesus did something that he crossed all physiological boundaries and reached into the supernatural and just touched him, reached into his very spirit, soul, and body, and healed him. See, he healed him spiritually by giving him life and giving him hope. He healed him in his soul by giving him a hope and meeting an emotional need. I don't know if you guys noticed when we get together in a fellowship like this, there's something happen in your soul that is a good thing. It's called family dynamic. It's called touching each other. We're missing our big fawns and our hugs. But that's a real soulish healing that takes place when we fellowship with each other, when we communicate with each other. And I almost see this, and I could see it. It doesn't say it, but I so much see Jesus doing this. Smiled at him. Gave him a big smile and said, "I am with you." And just looked at him. I know he just looked at him and just smiled and said, "I am willing. Be healed." You see, what needs to happen in me and in all of us is that place where I need to know, I need to come to this understanding, realization, revelation, that I need a touch from Jesus. And to come to that place, I need to know, understand, and be revealed that I am unclean. You don't need a touch from Jesus if you're doing just fine. Right? Hello? Anybody with me? You guys are still back in leprosy land? I took you there, and now I need to bring you back into Lincoln, California. That's good water coming out everywhere. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. And then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, for this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." See, Jesus was cleansing his entire being, his spirit, his soul, and his body. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to talk about this for another few minutes. I need to pop up a clock here, because we don't have our clock. Our clock repairman is absent today. There we go. Wait, hold on. Oh my gosh. You know what? Just, there we go. The kids make fun of me when I type on my iPad like this, because it shows my age. Yeah, but you guys, anybody get a text from Robin, my wife? Oh my gosh, that woman can text like unbelievable. It's like, wow. It's like she's a master texter. That's like, and not only is it really good and it's all spelled correctly, perfectly, punctuated correctly, perfectly, but it's spirit-filled, inspired, and anointed. I'm like, oh, man, when she sends me one, and I get like one about once every like 3 months, and that's because, you know, I live with her and stuff, but I'm like, oh, that's so good. I'm like, anyway, I don't know what that was. Is it freebie? You guys know what I'm talking about. I know you do. Yeah. You know, the other night I was watching the girls. Where's Krista? Is she in here? I thought she was. Huh? Oh, she wanted to go check on the girls. What a good mom she is. So I was watching the girls the other night. And I had all three of them all by myself. The kids went, they did a youth group function thing, and yeah, they were brave. They said, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Oh yeah, it's gonna be great. It's just like old times." And it was fun. But there's a story behind, or there's a point to this story, okay? So I do realize that my son is kind of like a really, really good cook. So when I try to make like macaroni, cheese, and hot dogs or whatever, you know, they're like, I don't want this. What is this? Like, it's like, this was used to be good stuff, man. When I was a kid, it's what I fed your dad and stuff. And I think they told me later that I was like, yeah, Dad, we never really liked that. That was like, oh, okay. I cheesed that thing up so cheesy. It was like that thing was it took me 3 days to wash out the pan. That stuff was, I just finished it this morning washing it. Like, I'm serious. So I had to find I had to tell them like, girls, there's nothing else to eat. This is all there is. And they're like, no, I know that there's stuff in there. And Nana always pulls out some treats in there. So I'm like, okay, let's find something else because this isn't cutting it. Evie liked it though. But here's I was fixing this whatever it was. It was kind of food. And the girls were watching the movie. I set them down on the couch and watched the movie. I was holding Evie. She was kind of being a little fussy. So I said, well, I'm going to put her on the couch next to the girls, in between the girls even. In between the girls. This happened. I know that the parents are okay because it happens to them all the time. Well, maybe not. But so I'm over there at the stove fixing stuff, and all of a sudden, thunk. I'm like, oh, man. Turn around, and there she is right on the floor. And just, ah, I'm like, oh, gosh. But here's what I want to, this is what happened before that. Though right before that, as I was holding Evie, I always take, whenever I have the girls in my arms or in my, you know, if I get a moment with them, I pray a prayer. I pray the prayer that I have always prayed into their lives in Numbers. And it's the great prayer that I love to pray into their very being. And it's the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may you have peace all the days of your life. And did you just pop it up there? Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was something like that. That's because that's what it is. And so I'm sitting here praying this prayer for her. I'm holding her, and I've prayed this prayer into all my kids and all my grandkids' lives since they were babies. I love to do it as a baby, you know. And then I set her on the couch. And she goes thunk on her head. And I'm thinking as that happened, I'm like, Lord, I just asked you to bless her and keep her. Can you just keep her on the couch for like 30 seconds even? No, I'm serious. I had this conversation with God. I don't know. Do you guys, anybody else get like frustrated with God because it's like it didn't work out like I thought it would or didn't like it? And I know this, you know, there's way more serious things in life than this, but this is going to be a point to all of this. So here's what I do. I'm still not done making the food, so I gotta still. I can't hold her and make food. I'm not super mom or not. I'm not a millennial. I can do one thing at a time, and that's it. So and when I say that, I am not making fun of millennials. I think millennials are fantastically awesome at what they do. I mean it, and I'm not being sarcastic. I am impressed with their ideas and thoughts and their thinking and their forward motion. And they're not like me. They're not like us old folks. You know, we are old dogs, and yeah, that's about it. Mm-hmm. With lots of wisdom, but man, Jesus is going to come back because of the millennials movement to preach the gospel. I believe it with all my heart. So all of us old people, let's just pray that they get the vision. Amen. Where was I? I had this finished food. So here's what I did. It's like, okay, I'm going to be smart. And I'm going to put a couple pillows on the floor this time so that, you know, if she does it again, she'll land on a pillow. Lo and behold, I'm serious. I don't know how she did it, but I had pillows there, and she missed a pillow, and she did it again. Another thunk, and I'm like, oh my gosh, girl. Like, and I'm like, now I'm getting like really frustrated. Like, this is, I can't believe this is happening. She's crying, and I'm like looking to make sure there's no you know, bruises or you know, everything's, nothing's broke. I'm like, okay, because then I'd be in big trouble. Never let me watch them again. But duct tape them. That's a good idea. What's that? That's a good idea. Yeah. Well, okay, I know. Thank you for all the wisdom, the parental wisdom. Hey, listen. I gotta tell you guys. Can I tell you guys? Can I just be transparent for a second? Okay. Hey, I've come a long way, because I still distinctly remember, and so does my wife, when Blake was like 3 months old. And me and a buddy, they had a baby that was like, I don't know, a month older than ours. And me and my buddy, they came over with the moms, and let's have a little, the moms had something to do up here at the salt mine. This is Robin and her friend. And so me and my friend, we were going to stay home and babysit the little ones. We thought this was really good. Let's babysit the little ones. Oh, yeah, come on, dude, we could do this. Yeah, we're dads. It was a weekend, and, you know, and they were doing something, some baby shower or something up here. I don't know. They were doing something up here. Well, you know, we're there for about an hour, and, you know, we get them fed and everything, and then we put them down in their crib, both of them in their crib, and they both fall asleep. We're thinking, oh, hey, let's go see what the girls are doing. I kid you not, we just left. And we show up here with no babies. And Robin's looking at me, and she's looking at my friend, and she's like, what are you guys doing? It's like, oh, we just want to come and say hi, see what's going on. Where's the baby? Oh, he's home sleeping. He's fine. That's what she said. What? It's like, what's the problem? What's the big deal? He's sleeping. Come a long way. I there's no excuses, none whatsoever. Just, and they still leave their kids with me. I don't understand. Maybe I'm not the stupid one. Yeah. Now you know too many things. I know. Robin says that all the time. She's like, you sometimes share the most, what'd she say? Yeah, she says, I find stuff about you on Sunday morning that I didn't know existed. And I'm like, yeah, sorry. So do I. I find stuff out about me. I know, huh? I have no idea where I'm going. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, this is... No, we're going to get back on track. I promise. What I'm getting to is this, is when we feel like, it seems like the leper, when we feel like the promises of God for all those other people, maybe the godly people, the good people, the beautiful people, the people who make all the right choices. But as far as for me, I don't know if they attain to me. They don't apply to me because of all of my screw-ups, because of my DNA. Maybe because I was born an addict. I was born a homosexual. I was born this way. I was messed up. And if we buy that, I'm going to tell you, you're buying a lie. Because, there is no such thing as, you know, we're born into sin, and we live in a fallen world. In other words, it's kind of going to be a part of who you are. You can't, and if you excuse it, and if you continuously blame it on something that, or where you were born and why you were born, you're going to fall into this place, and you might sit up on the mountain listening to the words of Jesus and then saying, why me? Why can't I have that? And here's what we need to do. We need to get into this place and say, I need to find a way to get near Jesus. I need to find a way to get a hold of him, and even to get in his presence and fall on my knees and say, please help me. I need you to do something because I'm a mess. But until you realize you're a mess, you won't fall on your knees and say, help me. And that's something that we need to do. And here's sometimes we feel like we do it. And like I said, going back to little Evie, you know, falling off the couch, I asked God to keep her and protect her and hold her. But here's what happened. Here's what's happened next. This is exactly how it happened. And I kid you not. That's the reason I share it, because is we ate. Now we sat on the couch all together. But here's what I did this time is I held her. And then here's what she wanted down. But I swear, she looked at me. She looked at me, and I think that Evie and I have a language that we don't have to speak anything. I really do, because I think that she's, ever since she was like really little, she's like looked into my soul. Creeped me out a few times. Really freaked me out, because I'm thinking, she's like looking into my soul right now. And I was nervous, but I'm thinking, oh, this is all right. This is all right. So she looked at me as though to say, I know what to do now. And she kind of crawled around, and she got down backwards, and she backed herself down off the couch. And I'm thinking, right on. God, you were keeping her. You were holding her. She needed to figure this out. She needed to learn something. Even, yeah, she'll I'm sure fall again. But here's what I think sometimes we think that because I'm not getting the things that I want the way that I want them, we think that God is not actually listening to me, or God isn't pleased with me, or God isn't answering my prayers. And when you say, Eric, all the promises of God are yes in Him, well then, how come this one isn't happening? How come I'm still financially a wreck? My relationships are a mess. I haven't found a wife or a husband yet. My kids are just, they're driving me nuts, and they're lost and they're confused. I've asked and I've asked and I've asked. Anybody resonate with that one? Or maybe those, or maybe there's one that you are in particular, that's in particular to you. And you need to come to this place of saying, I'm getting up on the mountain so that I can hear what He's saying. But now I got to take the next step, and I've got to get down the mountain, and I've got to get into His presence, and I got to fall on my knees and beg Him to do something. And that's, I think, the place that requires humility, it requires transparency, and it requires just, that's the amen to His yes. Hello? So here's what He heard, and I this is what I want to talk about it, because I think it's interesting, because I believe this is a part of, this was the Sermon on the Mount that He was listening to, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters, 5-7, I said, please, I beg you, I plead with you, I exhort you, everything I can, like, urge you with, read it over and over and over again. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Some of the greatest stuff. And I've come to realize as I read it over and over again, and the Lord speaks something different to me every single time. To sum it all up, I think is the sum up, at least where I'm at right now. Next time I read it again and again, it'll probably speak something different. Is it speaking to Jesus implementing the new spiritual order of working that God is doing in our lives? It's the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God ruling in the heart. Not from external ways. So many places, remember where He says, you know that it says this about killing somebody? Well, I'm telling you, don't even hate. You know that it says this about adultery? Well, I'm telling you, don't even lust. Let me into your heart and rule from the inside, and you'll see that the external all makes sense. And then He sums it all up with you know, all these words that I say, the words that I teach, are like the house, the builder that builds his house on the sand or on the rock first. And it said, if you do these things and put them into practice, you will be as the wise one who builds his house on the rock. And when, not if, when the winds, the rain, the storms, the lightning, the thunder, the messes of this world hit your house, you will stand. Amen. Amen. But if you hear these words and don't put them into practice, in other words, just kind of stay up on the mountainside and look down and say, why isn't this happening for me? Why is it for everybody else and not me? And if you don't get into the business of getting into God's presence, into the presence of Jesus, and grabbing a hold of him, and in other words, and putting it into practice, he said, then you'll be as the one that, you're hearing all the same words. In other words, you're in the same presence of this room and you're hearing the words of Jesus even now. And if you don't put them into practice, you're as one building your house on the sand. And when it hits, crash. And it's a big crash. Man, I'm trying to get to what he actually said. Keep getting squirreled. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do for you, to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. No, I just want to talk about a few things in this passage because I think it's worth highlighting. And I think it's because these are the words that the leper heard. And I believe it's the words that got his attention to seek him out. Seek him out, as he said, he who seeks will find. He who knocks, it will be opened. He who asks, he will receive. And he's referring to God the Father as a good father. But he also refers to us, and he uses the simile of us as parents, know how to give good gifts to our children. How many know, as a parent, that you do not give your children everything they ask for? That would not be a good gift as a parent. Hello? Correct. So the emphasis is on parents have the wisdom. There's a parental instinct within us, even as evil, to give our children good things. Hello? Right? How much more God is like that? But here's something I'd like us to I've never seen it this way until this time that I read this, and I was intrigued when I read it, and then I looked into it, and I'm not the only one that has thought this thought. I was looking up John Piper's stuff, and he said it in the same kind of fashion, and it was, even though it says that you as a good parent will not give a child a stone if they ask for bread, even though you as a good parent will not give a child a snake if he asks for a fish, you know what it doesn't say? It does not say that God won't do that. Let me explain, because I got your attention, didn't I? What if the stone is actually what you need instead of bread? Do you trust that God knows what you need more than what you want? What if, in this day and age, in this time, what if you're in a boat? You're in a boat, and you've gone afloat without an oar. And you're hungry. And you need to anchor yourself. You think, I would sure love a loaf of bread. But God says, well, let me give you a stone instead, because with a stone, you could tie a rope around it and you could be anchored. Isn't that interesting? And what if you get bitten by a poisonous snake? Does that happen to good people? Yeah. What is the antidote to a poisonous snake? Come on, somebody knows, kids. You guys know. Where do you find the antidote from a poisonous snake? From their own poison. So you need a snake to get the antidote to heal yourself from the bite of a poisonous snake. What if God may give you that so that you can bring, so it can bring healing into your very soul? Hello? And that sometimes is the place where we need to trust God at His Word, trust God in what He says, trust God in His promises, even say amen to the things that we may not understand. And instead of being lured into my hungers, my appeasing my desires, well, I really would like a fish sandwich right now. God says, no, you need a rock so that you can stable yourself, and you need the antivenom from a snake so that you can bring healing, so that you won't die. Isn't that interesting? I wouldn't have come up with that. Like, I wouldn't have actually said that if I didn't hear John Piper say the same thing. So I kind of... And the last point I want to make is this, in regards to holding on to the promises of God. I kind of made a reference to what Blake has been teaching on our Tuesday night in the culture of our biblical culture in understanding Scripture through biblical culture. Primarily, and he's got another couple weeks of that, and then we're going to get into the Gospels, which is really exciting. I love the Gospels. I don't know. I just love, I like the whole Bible, but I like the red letters. I like the words in red. I don't know why. I just really like what Jesus says. I know. The red letters, yeah. I think I don't know how the song goes, but that, yeah. At the end of this little discourse in Matthew chapter 7 through 12, the word so at verse 12 is, he's connecting what he just said to now what I'm going to say. You guys get that? Right? Okay. There's a connection there. The word so, and since God always gives you what you need when you ask, that's what he's saying. If you ask, you will receive. And then he goes on and he says this, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. In other words, I believe God loves and cares for you so much that you will be able to care so that you can care for others the same way he cares for you. That's what he's saying there 100%. Do you guys get that? So the whole asking, seeking, knocking isn't, if we make it about what can I get for me, we're missing the whole point of it. In other words, I've been saying this lately, it's like what God wants to pour into you is so that you can pour out of into others. He wants to bless you so that you can bless others. Amen? Don't bask in the blessing bath, making it all about you. God wants to bless you so that you can bless others. That's what the so is. So when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, it's so that you can pass it along. In other words, be my children and show the world that I'm a good father. Amen? It's almost as though he's saying, just say amen to my yes. Do you see it? He wants to bless us with blessings so that we can bless others. And when we agree and say amen to that, I'm just wondering, I'm wondering what I would look like if I really believed everything that God promised. And I don't say that in a way that's, I'm not being judgmental. I combine cynical and I can't even say it now. Judgmental, thank you. I want to encourage us to just believe God, trust God. I think when we trust God at His Word, take Him at His Word, believe Him in His Word, to where we are in agreement, we're saying amen to all of His promises that are in Him. And it's not sci-fi stuff, and it's not weird. It's for you. It's for me. It's real. It's attainable to just agree with God in His promises. Amen? Let's pray and worship the Lord. Father God, we just thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Your grace and Your mercy that sees us right where we're at. And so chooses to smile on us and love us exactly at the place where we sit, where we stand, even where we lay, where we wrestle with our own selves. Your grace and Your mercy is so good that draws us and leads us to repentance, always back to You, Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. We give You glory and praise, and we ask that by Your Spirit, You would infuse within us a faith that would be able to grab a hold of Your promises, and that faith would give us the amen to all that You say in You, Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.